Someone gave you $10 million. All yours, no strings attached. What would you do with it? I think this question, it kind of shows where our heart is at when it comes to possessions. Like me, you probably would have started just thinking through the list of all the things that you could do with $10 million, the places you would go, the people who you would take with you, the things that you could experience, the things you wouldn't have to worry about anymore. $10 million. A lot of money. One thing that I've been reflecting on this week in light of our topic is that the earth is the Lord's. And everything in it, the world, all who live in it. Everything we have, anything we could ever have, belongs to God. And today, as we continue our series in Temptations We Face, we are looking at the temptation of possessions. Possessions. These are resources that have been entrusted to us by God to use wisely. And we're going to have to give an account to him for how we have used them. Possessions are stuff that have been entrusted to us by God to use wisely. And we're going to be accountable to him for how we have used them. And Jesus today, he shows us that our relationship with possessions, it actually reveals where we find our security. Is that security in God or is it in stuff? So when it comes to possessions, Jesus warns us to be on guard against greed. Jesus warns us to be on guard against greed. In our passage from Luke 12 that we had read, there was a man who comes up to Jesus and he wants Jesus to fix this issue that he's been having with his brother. They've been fighting over this inheritance. And obviously, this man who interrupts Jesus as he's teaching the crowd, this man feels like he's been stitched up. Doesn't feel like it's been fair. He wants Jesus to help him sort out the situation. But Jesus, he sees the heart of this man and he thinks that there's something more important that this man needs to learn. And that is, he says to him, watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. I've got this definition for greed and what it sort of looks like. Greed is wanting more money than possessions. Greed is the opposite of contentment, being content. And greed is a refusal to share your possessions. That could look like perhaps having everything you need, but still wanting a new car or a holiday house or another TV or whatever it might be. That could look like a greed, wanting more money, wanting more possessions. It could look like gambling, that you want other people to lose big, essentially, so you can win big. Greed. It could also look like having money and having things, but just not wanting to share them, or not giving to gospel ministry or charities or whatever it might be, and just wanting to save up these things for ourselves. Not being generous, not sharing our possessions. And so this man who comes to Jesus, he warns him, be on guard against greed. I think we see that being on guard, it is active. Just like the Secret Service, they are proactive in their protection of the president, aren't they? They're not just kicking back, sitting in chairs, waiting for something to happen. No, if the president's going somewhere or traveling anywhere, the Secret Service, they've already fully scoped it out. They know the risks and they minimize the risks. They are proactive and on guard. In the same way, we're being reminded to be proactive here against greed. Against hoarding up possessions for ourselves. Do we have this sort of attitude towards greed? Is this on our radar? Because the attitude of greed is what Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the rich man about. But he tells this parable of this rich man, this story, and this rich man, his ground produces such an abundant harvest, and he's got this dilemma. All his barns are already full, and he's got even more stuff. What's he going to do with it? And so he decides, I'll tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. Bigger barns, I can store more stuff. And I'm sure his intention was really good. You know, he wanted to be generous and kind with all of his stuff. No. He says to himself, you'll have plenty of grain laid up for so many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry. Barns was just one way that you could store stuff back then. These days, we got things like double garages, spare bedrooms, share markets. Guy had barns. And you know, this idea of storing up possessions, take life easy, eat, drink, be merry. We hear that message just all the time, I think, don't we? Whether it be work hard, play hard, or just the idea of just working so hard, flogging yourself during your working years so that come retirement time, hey, now I can kick back, eat, drink, and be merry. Greed can so easily creep in. We cannot worship both God and money. We like to kid ourselves that we can, but we cannot worship both God and money, friends. We are being warned against hoarding up possessions for ourselves. And being greedy, this isn't something just for people who are wealthy. You can be a poor person and still be greedy. You can be a rich person and still be content. Everyone needs to hear this message. And that's why Jesus warns us, be on guard against greed. But why? Why? What's the worst that could happen? I've worked hard for all this stuff. Why? Everyone else just enjoys it. Why can't I enjoy all the things that I have worked for? Why can't I just use that on myself? Well, friends, Jesus tells us in the parable. In the parable, God comes to the rich man and he says, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? It's a big deal. Guard our hearts against greed. Jesus is telling us here, eternity is at stake. Eternity is at stake. As Jesus has been teaching this crowd before that man came and interrupted, Jesus had just been saying, fear him who after your body has been killed has the authority to throw you into hell. I think he's making it pretty clear where this rich man was headed after he died that night. Friends, we brought nothing into this world and we can leave with nothing. We were born naked, we're going to leave this world naked. Everything that we have now is a gift from God. That rain shelter that we have at home, gift from God. The food in our fridge and on our plates, gift from God. The money that we have in our bank accounts, a gift from God. We can't just rock up to heaven with all our possessions and say, hey, God, let us in. Look at all this stuff that I have. Look at my house. Look at my holiday house. Look at whatever it might be. Friends, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Being reminded here to serve one God, the powerful creator God who has given us everything, every good thing in our lives. If we get to that final day and God points at us and says, you fool. Too late by then, friends. Paul has a similar warning for Timothy when he writes, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered away from the faith. love of money leads people away from God towards eternal pain in hell. Here Jesus stresses that greed can be this subtle yet devastating obstacle to entering the kingdom of God. We need to hear the warning to be actively on guard against this greed for possessions. I think living in Sydney, this is something that we need to pray for especially, because the air that we breathe is just materialism, isn't it? Every ad that comes at you saying you need this to be comfortable, to be satisfied. This is just the air that we breathe. Our city is flooded with a love of money. We fall victim to that. So Jesus wants us not to store up for ourselves, but instead to be rich towards God, is the language that Luke uses. Rich towards God. But if we're not supposed to find our security in possessions and the things that we have, then what about our legitimate daily needs? What about food? What about clothing? What about providing for my family like I'm called to do? I think Jesus, he anticipates this concern, because he goes on straight away to talk about the fact that we are called to trust God, not in our circumstances or our possessions. We're called to trust God. Jesus goes on in our Luke passage to remind us to rely on God to provide for our everyday needs. When I say needs, Jesus says that there are three things that you need to live. Three things: food, water, clothing. They're the three things that he lists here. And he talks about this from verse 22 onwards. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. We are worth so much to God. He cares for us. He provides for us. I think the ultimate display of this, that he cares for us and loves us, is by his Son on the cross, brothers and sisters. That's the cost of God wanting to be in relationship with us. That's how much he loved us. So that we can be delivered from the power of selfishness and greed. His Son on the cross is what that cost. I was reflecting on the need to trust in God just for our everyday provisions. And I was reminded of a friend of ours when we were living in Thailand. My parents were missionaries there. And this is Jeep and her son, who was my childhood best friend. And Jeep, fun fact, born in a Jeep, and that was her nickname for the rest of her life. There you go. We met a Jeep as a young single mum, and the way that she had grown up, it was a pretty messy family, grew up a Buddhist, and being in debt was just a normal part of life. And Jeep became a Christian later on in life, and she worked really, really hard to try and be a Christian in everything that she did. She worked at a small insurance agency as a secretary, and she knew that her boss was being pretty dodgy with money. And one day the real test came. The boss comes to her and he says, "Jeep, I want you to go to this client and essentially blatantly lie that I don't have the money to pay them out." So Jeep really wrestled with this. She was supporting her son. She was supporting another member of their family who was living with them, all dependent on her. And so she really wrestled with it. How do I live as a Christian? And eventually she ends up quitting her job over this. The Hollywood ending would have been, you know, she finds a job next week and yada, yada, yada. But no, she didn't find a job for months. And yet, during that time, they still had a roof over their heads. Her son's school fees still got paid for. They had like no income coming in, but she learned how to make a meal with very, very little. And God provided for their next meal, day by day. She learned to trust God during that time. Friends, what we see in Scripture is that God is not saying he's going to guarantee us a comfortable life. Who gives and takes away? Creator God does. Who has the right to give us eternal life in heaven? God does. Who has the right to make us live a basic, simple life? God does. And yet, who will always still provide for us? God does. We're called to trust God just like Jeep did. And we worry about how terrible it would be to live simply, but I think so often we find that God is abundantly generous, isn't he? We have a roof over our heads, food to eat, things that literally billions of people in the world just long for. We live in a country with Medicare and Centrelink, literally protecting us from the worst of poverty, things that so many can only dream of. We have so much to be thankful for here in Sydney, Australia, friends. Our God, he is a generous God. He provides. We're called to trust him for his provision and to be content with what he's given us. Maybe you're here, though, and struggling with finances and things are actually just genuinely very difficult. I think what this passage is saying is, man, don't worry. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. He comes alongside of us and he puts our arm around us and he says, trust me. Trust me. God knows what you need. Keep asking your Heavenly Father in prayer. Trust that he will provide what you need. We pray that in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Give us today daily bread. I love Hebrews 13, which says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. For us all, when we truly trust God to provide for our daily needs, it genuinely transforms the way that we live. Brothers and sisters, let us foster contentment, being content. We can be proactive against greed by being thankful to God for what we have. That will help us to be more content with what he has given us, being thankful to God. Just like those Secret Service agents are proactive, we need to be proactive against fighting greed, don't we? We need to protect our hearts against the danger of greed. By being thankful and content, allows us to be generous and invest in eternal possessions. We're called not to be like that rich, foolish man in the parable, but to be rich toward God. This is where we see that Jesus calls us to be generous with our possessions. And to be rich toward God. Rich towards God. What does that look like? Jesus goes on to tell us, verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Seek God's eternal kingdom. He will provide for us the basic things that we need. Food and clothing. He doesn't promise us wealth and abundance and comfort here on earth. Not at all, but he is generous, isn't he? We've already seen that. And on top of the generous things that he gives us, he gives us eternal riches in heaven, which they can't be stolen, they can't be taken away, they're guaranteed. Jesus, he's not calling us to go into poverty here on earth with our generosity. But he is saying that what's important now is not material possessions, it's not storing up our wealth in barns, but it is investing in God's eternal kingdom. Jesus is calling us to consider where our heart is at. What's important to us? Are we distracted by the world? Possessions, things, stuff? Or are we focused on his eternal kingdom to come, where things will not spoil or fade away? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. In his joy, he goes and sells everything he has to buy that field. Everything he has. We consider the kingdom of heaven that worthwhile? Maybe think about this question. What would you struggle to give up for the kingdom of heaven? If that thing was taken away from you, would you still trust God to provide for your day-to-day needs? What would we struggle to give up here on earth for the kingdom of heaven? I mean, for Zacchaeus, the tax collector, when he became a follower of Christ, he gave half of his possessions to the poor. And then he said he was going to pay back four times the amount to anyone that he had ever ripped off. He very likely went from being a rich man to a poor man, just like that. That's how much the kingdom of heaven meant to him. That's how much his heart, his greedy heart, had been changed by meeting Jesus. That's how much heaven was worth. Rather than being greedy and rich towards ourselves, Jesus is calling us to be rich towards God. Because friends, God has been so generous to us through Christ. His son on the cross, that's what it cost him. That's his generosity towards us. And rich or poor, in return, we are called to be generous with what we have in return. A few suggestions on what that could look like. In that proactive fight against greed, to help us be content and generous. Share our possessions. Share our possessions. Someone asks to borrow something from us, are we precious about it, or do we hand it over, not worrying about what condition it's going to be in when we get it back? It's God's anyway, right? As followers of Christ, we're called to be generous. Let us share our possessions and what we have. Secondly, let us sell our possessions. We see this in verse 33. Declutter our houses and our garages rather than letting things rot away and rust for the off chance we might use it in 5 years' time. Sell our possessions. We're called to be generous as followers of Jesus Christ. And it's not sell the stuff so we have more money in our back pocket, but I think it's sell your stuff in order to be able to give. Be able to give our possessions. Give to our brothers and sisters here who need it, and to those who are struggling around the world as well. Remember, being rich towards God means investing it in eternal things. Putting our things into money that the world just considers utter useless. They're not useless to God. Are we giving to gospel causes, to charities, to church? We're being rich towards God by investing in his kingdom and his priorities. Not our kingdom and our priorities. Or maybe there's any extra cash just go in our back pocket, in our savings accounts. Maybe we keep saying that I'll start giving once I get a full-time job, or once I've got more stable work, or once I get a promotion. Friends, there's always an excuse to not give, to not be generous. Let us start now. Start today. Start small. Make it regular. We're called to be generous as followers of Christ. Regardless of our situation, we're called to give. And that's going to look very different for every single person. But do you want to see where someone's heart really is? A good look at where they spend their money. What's the first expense in our first line item in our budgets? Does God get our first fruits, or does He leave our leftovers? Jesus calls us to examine our heart. We're living in people living as people who trust in God's provision. Or are we still clinging to our possessions for security? Being rich towards God means what using what He has entrusted to us, whether much, whether little, serve His kingdom rather than accumulating things for ourselves. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The $10 million question. All yours. What do you do with it? We've seen what Jesus says about possessions. We've seen that he's warned us to be on guard against greed. You know, that subtle temptation of accumulating stuff rather than trusting in God. Remember, we need to be proactive against greed. We've seen that he calls us to trust in God's provision, provide for our daily needs rather than being anxious. And we've seen that Jesus challenges us to be generous with our possessions, investing in His kingdom rather than hoarding up things for our own kingdom. Our relationship with possessions reveals where our heart truly finds security. In God, or in stuff. Maybe you've realized this morning that you depend on possessions too much. Not too late. We can change our ways. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. He is able to change our hearts. He is able to change our actions. It is not too late, friends. This week, let us reflect on our attitude towards possessions. In our handouts, I've put a few questions there. In our bid to be proactive against greed, can I encourage you sometime this week, put aside some time, and just have a think through these questions that I've put there. And just pray that God would help us to guard against greed. Because remember, everything belongs to God. And one day we're going to be accountable to Him for how we've used the things that He has given us. Yeah, but I pray that God will help us to do just that. Let's pray. Well, God, we thank You for every material blessing that You've given us. Lord, please help us not to be greedy, but be content. Constantly be thankful to You for the things that You have given us. Please help us to have generous hearts which overflow to other people. And Lord, thank You for Your generosity to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things in His mighty name. Amen. I'll give us a moment now just to write down and reflect on one thing that we want to take away from today. Maybe it's one way that we want to be proactive in our fight against greed. I'll give us 1 minute to do that for our one big thing.